So it seems simple enough, these words from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear the statutes and ordinances which I speak in your hearing this day, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or likeness of anything else. You shall keep holy the Sabbath. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. Neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal, nor bear false witness against your neighbor. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's family. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's possessions." 10 simple rules, fairly clear, designed to be a covenant between God and God's people, designed initially to draw people together around love of God and care for one another. Jesus translated them in the New Testament, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That'll take care of all 10. Designed to draw us together, but largely have the opposite effect, in that the law, the rules, the boundaries become barriers between us. We have an in-bounds and out-of-bounds view of the world. Those who keep the rules and those who don't. Pitchers and catchers reported to spring training on Friday. One of my favorite times of the year, the baseball season starts, and the greatest baseball player in Major League Baseball currently was on the cover of Sports Illustrated again this week, Alex Rodriguez, and steroids. Why don't they just play by the rules? This guy has more talent for baseball than anybody on the planet. He doesn't need steroids. And from Little League to Pony League, college, minor league baseball, coaches are saying, don't be like that guy. Don't be like that guy. He broke the rules. It's frustrating. Don't be like that guy. There's only 10 rules we have to keep. They're not that hard. Want to keep score? I'm going to start at the end. The two on coveting. I hate to tell you that if we actually took that stuff seriously about coveting, the economy would be in worse shape than it is by a good little bit. The commercial, retail, and worldwide economy depends on our coveting and acquiring, which, by and large, creates for us graven images and false gods. So we'll go from the last two on coveting and say, well, our score is not so great on those, at least throughout the course of our lives. And the first three, which define our relationship to God himself. Have no other gods before me. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath. All of which suggest that God is to be God in our lives, preeminent. Well, the things we get by coveting sort of get in the way of a lot of that. So, in general terms, and without belaboring the point, I would suggest that it would be hard to disagree that at least on half of the commandments, the first three and the last two, our score is not that great because of the notion of, well, the godness of God and the wonder of possessions and people by comparison. Well, there are a couple of others that kind of go together that relate to some of the specifics and the details of our lives with each other. Honor your father and mother. Do not bear false witness. Do not steal. Again, fairly simple things, but in the course of our life together, we do stumble with the level of honor that we feel and express to parents and friends. Do we always look for the very best in other people, which is another way of violating the principle of false witness. Yeah, you can get on a witness stand and commit perjury, but then you have trouble yourself. But it's more than that. It's seeking and exploring and expressing for both family and friends the very best at all times. That's a higher standard than you think, just with those two little commandments. I'm suggesting that in the course of our entire lives, or maybe the course of the rest of the day, we might fall a little short on the keeping, not bearing false witness, and honoring the people in our lives. Well, I haven't stolen much lately. And what are we talking about? Pencils home from the office? Come on. Well, yeah, but I was in the airport a week or two ago, and who can't overhear phone conversations in airports these days? Everybody's got a cell phone or a Bluetooth. And somebody was talking to somebody about what sounded to me a little bit like a company that was about to be acquired, the result of which would have some implications on the company's publicly traded stock price. I couldn't get close enough to hear what the company was. And if I had, and if I had acted on that information, I might have made myself a little money in the stock market. Or, to put it another way, committed a felony. Because that's what insider trading is. I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know whether any information was being given in an untoward way. But I do know this, that if I had in fact heard the details, it would have been hard not to say to yourself the next morning, you know, all you got to do is log on to fidelity.com. It's very simple. And of course, intent equals commission in the Ten Commandments. So we pretty much got the coveting part and the I am the Lord thy God part and the honoring and the bearing and the stealing part. Our score's not great so far, right? Yeah, but you know what? That killing and adultery thing, 2 out of 10 is not bad. Jesus said, you have heard, you shall not kill. But I say unto you, anyone who says, you fool, has committed murder, in effect. That was in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, if words could kill, and if the expletive you fool or something similar to that actually worked for the people that I think about now and then, we'd have a lot fewer Texas Tech administrators. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Or if you're an Arkansas politician, admit adultery. But Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall not. But I say unto you, everyone who looks lustfully at another has done so in his heart, or her heart, implied. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out this week. Enough said. So how are we doing? Anybody scored any points on the game yet? Don't be like that guy. Play by the rules. Here's the interesting part. We are that guy. We are that guy. Alex Rodriguez was quoted as saying, I signed for $250 million. The greatest player in baseball at the time. It's a hard thing to live up to. I felt like I had to hit a 3-run homer every time I got up to bat with nobody on base. Can't hit a 3-run homer with nobody on base. Nobody can. Nobody can live up to the expectations or the hopes or the dreams of people that write about us in newspapers, or people that love us in our homes. In my profession, the equivalent of taking steroids would be fudging data on a research project or plagiarizing someone else's work. And when you're under the gun for tenure or promotion, it at least crosses your mind. I wonder if I need an edge. All of us have, in what we do, the functional equivalent of seeking an edge in a way that's under the table. We are that guy. We are that guy. So what do we do? Charles Dickens began his book David Copperfield with these words: "Whether or not I turn out to be the hero of my own life, these pages will tell." And David Copperfield is largely a story of persistence in overcoming adversity, to greater or lesser degree, and with marginal or medial success. 6 months or so ago, a guy named Josh Hamilton was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, a baseball player again, who not only took steroids, but every other drug you can think of, and pretty much wrecked his career and life almost before it got started, a high draft choice in the late 90s, and was out of baseball for several years, and is now back, and was on the front page of everybody's, well, sort of on the front page of our huts in a way, when he nearly won the home run derby during the All-Star break this past summer, and has put his life back together. Josh Hamilton is one who fell and climbed back up and is moving forward. Whether he falls again, who knows? Odds are, well, fair. But all of us are more or less in, you know, one day at a time mode, really, on this one. We succeed, we fail, we fall, we pick ourselves up, and we give it another shot because we are that guy. And the good news is we're not in this alone. So in an oddly curious sort of way, the law, the Ten Commandments, if you will, designed to draw us together, but seemingly put wedges between us as those who keep and those who don't, oddly draw us together because we all are that guy. And we have but one place to go together, and that is to the foot of the cross with gratitude to the one who says, "I know who you are. I was one like you and felt it all." Martin Luther, in explaining the Ten Commandments to children through his writing of the Large and Small Catechism, essentially said at the end, quoting St. Paul in Corinthians, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when you know this," Luther said, "you will know that you need a Savior." And the good news for us is not only do we know that we all need the Savior, because we are that God, we know where the Savior is. And the Savior is there for us. And we leave the foot of the cross every single day with another chance. Amen.